You're listening to Samuel Emerson, pastor at Cloverdale Church.
Want to do tonight is just give you a picture of where we all want to be. I want to explain from the Bible what marriage is, what God says marriage is, and just give you an opportunity to evaluate for yourself. At no point am I presenting myself an expert. At no point am I trying to say that I've got it all figured out. But what I do love is the Bible, and I do love Jesus. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And all relationships must look to Jesus for their fulfillment. We have to go to Jesus as the source of all relationship. Jesus is perfect theology, and Jesus is how we look at all relationships. So last week we talked about self-giving love. Everybody say self-giving love.
Self-giving love.
Let's try it again.
Self-giving love.
Excellent. And that'll carry you through most of your life. See, that's the purpose of love. That's the purpose of relationships. And so just before we get going here, because some of you are new and you might not know me, my name is Sam Emerson, and I've been a pastor of this church for quite a bit of time, longer than I can count anyways without my shoes off. But anyways, so this will be a lot of fun. I just want to introduce to you my beautiful, lovely bride. Here we go. What's up? So this is my wife, and I've known her since grade 5. Ever heard of the game Sardines together? Ever heard of the game Sardines?
Yeah.
You know, a hide and seek game where you're kind of like hiding up together? I played that with her. And it was the happiest day of my life. So she was a couple years older than me for sure, and so three grades ahead of me, it was a lot of fun. So I always had a crush on her. Actually, in grade 8, she chased me. When I was in grade 5, she chased me and threatened to kiss me. And at that time, I was like, in my head, I was like, she's challenging my fastness. I'm like, she'll never catch me. And she didn't catch me. But after I realized, I was like, should have been caught. Like, there's sometimes when your competitive nature just gets you into trouble and gets you to not want to do the very things that you want to do. But anyway, so I won the race, but then she won the life, so it's all good. So this is my wife, Maddie. We have 5 kids. Boom. Our son just turned 11 today, and we have one boy and 4 beautiful little girls, and this is a lot of fun, and our life is just getting more and more fun as we go along, and we're going to be interviewing Maddie as well in this sermon series, and we're going to have a lot of fun together as we just kind of open our lives and invite you into what Jesus has to say and the life that God has called us to preach together. So we're going to do that together, and God has just amazing things in store. So anyways, that's my wife. Very good. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to turn to the Bible. We love reading the Bible in youth church. So here we go. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. Very, very good. Matthew chapter 22, verse 23. We're going to do this real quick. So here's what's happening. There was these guys named the Sadducees. They were rich and they were powerful, and they were crazy smart. And what they were trying to do is actually trick and trap Jesus from... To try to trip him up to prove him untrue. And what happens here is Jesus reveals something mind-bending about marriage and relationships altogether. Out of the Sadducees wanting to trap him, Jesus reveals truth and pulls something that is very important for us to see at a big, large picture that kind of takes us to the beginning and gives us an eternal perspective to that the life that we have been called to. So here we go. Reading from chapter 22 of Matthew, verse 23, the Bible says this: the same day the Sadducees came to him, who say that there is no resurrection. And they asked him, saying, "Teacher, Moses said that if a man dies having no children, his brother must marry the widow and raise up the children for his brother. Now there were 7 brothers among them. The first man died having no children and left his wife to his brother. So the second and the third down to the 7th. After them all, the woman died. In the resurrection, therefore, of the 7, whose wife will she be? For they all had her." Now, let me just give you an idea of what's happening here. Back in the day, Anyways, I think there's an echo. But anyways, back in the day, there was a rule and a law that if you married somebody, okay, and you had no children, because children were of primary importance there. If you didn't have children, you had no legacy to pass on. Women would actually go into poverty because they had no one to provide for them. That's the way the culture was set up. So the fail-safe was, if you got married and didn't have a child that would be able to support you in your old age, that would be able to carry on your name, you had, and the husband died, the wife had to marry the brother-in-law. Now, just imagine that for a minute. You better pick a really good-looking family. Just back then, be like, okay, yeah, what do your brothers look like again? Just kind of, but there was this reality. And so the Pharisees were given this ridiculous situation. 7 brothers, 1 girl. There's a problem with that girl. Okay, nobody can survive this girl. Nobody can hang out with her long enough to make a baby with her, apparently. But the Sadducees give this crazy idea. And Jesus doesn't go, that's ridiculous. Who do you know that's like that? He answers them right where they're at and goes, okay, you want to play this game? Are you ready? No, check this out. These guys loved the scriptures and they prided themselves in knowing the scriptures, had whole huge portions and chunks memorized. And this is what Jesus says. But Jesus said to them, you are wrong. Boom. It's okay to say you're wrong sometimes. Anyways, because you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God. That's Jesus laying the smack down. Because you need know neither the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but they are like angels in heaven. Do you hear that? For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like the angels in heaven. Now, some of you just heard there's no sex in heaven. Maybe, maybe not. Some of you are like, I didn't want to say that out loud. But maybe you thought it. That there's no sex in heaven. Now hear this, okay? As for the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what it is said to you by God? I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. And when the crowds heard it, they were astonished at his teaching. Now hear this. The Bible says very plainly through the words of Jesus that marriage is for now, it's not for eternity. Okay? Marriage is for now. Marriage is for a purpose. Marriage is not carried on into heaven because there's so much greater in heaven. Now, everybody in marriage, and my wife included, we like to think, oh yeah, we're just going to be married forever and hopefully we'll know each other in heaven, whatever it looks like. And if you start thinking that way, like, oh, I don't really know if I like this or even want to go to heaven or party in hell, all this kind of weird stuff going through your head, you want to be careful because what the Bible isn't saying is that you're not going to have relationships in heaven, that you're not going to have joy in heaven. The Bible is saying that your greatest picture of life and security in this life is not even going to carry you through to the next. That there's a greater reality to this life. That there is something greater that God has reserved for us. And what marriage is one of the pinnacles of all joy. Pinnacle kind of means top point, the highest peak of all of joy. And there is an incredible joy that comes with marriage, that comes with sex, that comes with relationships. And this joy, the Bible says, are signposts to heaven. They're pointers to heaven. Because in heaven, it's joy unspeakable. And it's really difficult right now because it would be like going to a little kid that you're with right now and kind of saying, there's more to life than candy. The kid would be like, uh-uh. No, 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 no. Like we took our kids out trick-or-treating and everybody kind of understood that we were going to share the candy that my children worked hard for and that I watched them work hard for. But we were going to share the candy, okay? That's the privilege of being a parent. You get to do less work and get more benefits. So, But my 2-year-old daughter, just turned 3 actually, she kind of freaked out at the idea of sharing candy because at this point in her life, this was more candy than she's ever seen. And so she was kind of freaking out going, oh, this is my candy. And if I tried to explain to her, okay, there's more to life, there's more joys to this than candy. There's more to life than candy. She would have such a hard time even coming close to understanding it because right now candy, candy, candy was all that she was thinking about. And you couldn't tell her that, you know what, snowboarding down a mountain kind of could rival candy. A great steak, hot chicken wings, like something like that could be a little better than candy. Maybe not for everybody. For me, I'm in. So, but there's a lot more that is better than candy. You offer me candy, you offer me chicken wings, I'll take the chicken wings any day. Just saying. So, but you need to know this, that there's something greater in this. And what Jesus isn't saying is that relationships here are a waste of time, but rather relationships here are to draw you into a more full picture of relationship with Jesus. And our desires, our deepest longings will only ever be fulfilled in Him. That marriage is a picture of self-giving love. And through marriage, we understand the love of God. We understand the way relationships are meant to be. Now, I'm not talking about everybody's picture of relationships or marriage. I'm talking about God's design for what marriage was intended to be. And this is the truth that God pulls in our hearts, is that there's more to life than just marriage. There's more to life than you going, who am I going to marry? If I can just put you at ease, approximately 6 years ago, stats came out that said 93% of North Americans will get married. 93%. That's a pretty high percentage. Most of you have never even seen that on a test. You're like, what's 93%? What, is it 50%? No, sir. This is what God is designed us for. And we have desires for marriage. But you need to hear that this isn't the only thing. This isn't the only way to live. This isn't the one thing that you can't live without. All pleasures in this life, and this will be hard. This will be as hard as me telling my three-year-old that candy is not the most important thing. Okay? But all pleasures in this life will fade in comparison to the pleasure and the fullness of joy of meeting Jesus face to face. You don't have to understand that, but you have to trust it. Because if you put your desires and lay them at the feet of Jesus and go, Jesus, I want to see your life reflecting in my life. And I want to reflect your love to the world. And if marriage is part of that reflection of your love, then giddy up. But if marriage isn't, then giddy up as well. We'll do it other ways. See, relationships is about self-giving love. And it's a really sad tragedy that in the Western world, marriage is like the pinnacle, or relationships is the pinnacle. It's the only thing most of the popular songs are about. It's about some guy getting some girl getting some guy, or then Avril Lavigne saying she hates everybody. So it's kind of like that world of just relationships and breakups and hookups and shackups and all of these kind of cycles of pain and brokenness. And I just want to be loved. Give me love. And this guy's singing that song, and I love the song because it reflects the heart of our generation of just give me love, give me love, give me love. And then he stops singing and he's grunting. He's like, give me love. And just like, I want love. And that's kind of like how we are usually when we're in rooms by ourselves. We're just like, I just want to be loved. Give me love. And God's going, yeah, I put that desire in you. And that desire isn't just some little catchphrase of I love Jesus. Jesus is our greatest relationship. And at the end of the day, that's all we get. And He's more than enough. Do you hear this? So the bigger picture is, and I'm gonna break down what the Bible kind of outlines as the standard, and we're gonna go through that really quick. But what the bigger picture is that marriage is to be a picture of self-giving love, and it's to be a reflection of God's love for the church, and it's to be a reflection of God's love for His people. Because marriage is about covenant. Marriage is about faithfulness to the end. Marriage is about beyond feelings and emotions, but sticking it through because you made the promise, you made the commitment, and you're there for life. See, Jesus says that He'll never leave us nor forsake us, not even when we're having a bad day. And so marriage is about acceptance and response. It's an entire movement towards Jesus. And marriage gets you to a point where you need Jesus more than ever. Okay? Marriage gets you to that point. Marriage pokes at all those fun little places in your selfish little heart that makes you want to make it all about you. And marriage goes, uh-uh, this is a covenant. It's about me too. And then you have this little me battle. And then the me battle begins to form into this glorious love expression. And there is so much joy that comes in marriage. But joy isn't about momentary feelings. If it was, we'd all be hooped. The moment we get sick, we lose everything. Like, I mean, when you're sick and you're throwing up, there is no joy. You have no happy thoughts of chicken wings. You have no happy thoughts about snowboarding. You have no happy thoughts about anything. You're just like, just get me out of this, right? If marriage was, if joy was that emotional, if you will, it's got to be more than this. So let's just look at this. I want to take you just back to the beginning really briefly here. Back to the beginning and look at what God says about marriage being self-giving love. And what you have to know about marriage and about sex in particular with marriage, okay? I'm going to begin with this and end with this. That sex, it is so powerful and it is so consuming and it is so amazing. Okay, you need to know that from the start. No one in this church is going to lie to you about the awesomeness of sex and say it's dirty, wrong, and gross, so save it for the one you're going to marry. Okay? We'll just tell you it's just straight up awesome and it's powerful. And what God designed marriage to be is not an expression of love so much, but rather the tool and the covenant-keeping tool to build love. To build love. So marriage, in sex in particular, is God's design to build your relationship in love. It's not, well, we just kind of been together for a long time and we just needed to take it to the next level. Relationships are not a video game. You're not upgrading. You're not trying to just get to the next level. This is powerful. Relationships are powerful and they will forever scar you no matter how arrogant you are in the moment right now. If you enter into relationship apart from God's design, you will leave scarred. You will leave scarred. You'll probably be scarred even in Jesus. Relationships are messy. The relationships in and of themselves are in movement. They are in motion. They are real and they are alive. And there is scarring. But you need to have a reality and a picture beyond that, which marriage is the ultimate goal, or sex is the ultimate goal, or fulfilling your desires is the ultimate goal. It's about self-giving love. About self-giving love. And so this is where we position our hearts. It's on Jesus. And it's on His way and His plan. So God gave us this amazing tool. See, like, we know God's good because sex is good. Like truly, God could have created us where we made babies and made life and enjoyed life through a whole bunch of other means. He could have done anything, but He gave it as an amazing expression. That's why our culture is so obsessed with it. And I'm not ashamed to talk about it, but I'm not going to talk about it in a crass way. I'm going to talk about it in a pure way. Because it is so powerful. But I don't want to ever be silent about that which God speaks so loudly about. Sex is all through marriage. Sex is all through marriage. In the Hebrew scriptures, there's an entire book of the Bible that they wouldn't let their little Hebrew boys read until they were 30 because it was so erotic. Can you imagine that? Little boys lighting a candle and being like sitting under their blankets going like, There's so let me tell you how into this God is, okay? And we talked a lot about this last week, so you want to hear more of what I'm talking about right now, you got to get the podcast, and all the information is on our website. But God did this, okay? God made man, and He made creation, and He was enjoying making creation. This is back at the beginning in Genesis 2. We're not going to read it. I'm just going to give you a paraphrase. You can check it out later, and you can see God's creative design. And we're going to go through this really quickly and move on to interviewing the amazing couple in this room. And so we want to... This is the reality, okay? Is that God looked at man, and this is a scripture that I used to live by, and the Bible says this, that it's not good for man to be alone. Can I get an amen? Yeah. And I read that scripture when I was about 15, and I was like, amen, not good for me to be alone. There is a girl for me. And I just kind of tried to figure out who that was. I'd be like, are you my wife? Are you my wife? Are you my wife? Just going around, youth group after youth group, just going, are you here? You know, that's why some of you are here. You're like, relationship series, great. Easy way to talk about relationships. So, are you in a relationship? How do you like this series? So, anyways, it's all good. I'm a fan of that. So this is what God did. Okay, is that Adam was created, and God looked at Adam and said it wasn't good for Adam to be alone, and so He made Eve. And here's what God did. He actually put Adam into a deep sleep. And here's what I believe about that. That's a picture of your time of waiting, is a deep sleep. See, the Bible speaks in Song of Solomon's in this way and says that do not awaken or stir love before its time. The Bible uses the word awaken. So before God gave Adam his gift, his super awesome, incredibly hot wife, who showed up to him as a present naked, that's the God of the Bible right there. Boom. So can you imagine waking up from that dream? You're like, yes! Thank you! Woo! You guys are going to have a prayer life after this. Oh God, make me like Adam. No, okay, go back to sleep. Time of waiting. Is that God put him in a time of waiting. And the Bible speaks in Song of Solomon saying, do not awaken, do not stir up love until it's time. And I believe that's a time of waiting. If you're single right now, it's not a time to mess around, explore, and practice. You don't need practice. You want to go in as inexperienced as possible and mess around together and learn how together you enjoy in a marriage covenant this awesome gift called sex. You want to unwrap it together. You don't want to spoil it before. It's like watching a movie and then rewatching it with someone that's watching it for the very first time. It's not a very good movie for the person beside you. So you're like, hey, wait for this part. Are you ready? And you're like elbowing them. I'll just kind of apply that to your marriage. Anyways, we're all good. You get it when you go home, so that's okay. But it's kind of like that picture. And you don't want to do it. You want to be like, oh, together, right? At a movie. Oh, right? Together. Not pre-practiced, not pre-prepped, together. And see, you're in a time of waiting right now. And it might feel like a very sleepless state for you, but that was God's design. So God put Adam in his sleep, and he woke him up, and he gave him Eve. The Bible's picture of marriage and relationships in marriage is naked and unashamed. Shame and came with the fall. Shame came with sin. Hiding came with sin. And a culture that went towards a running away from God's plan added shame upon shame. And so sex is one of those things you kind of talk about and you never want to speak openly about because you think there's something shameful about it. But God's picture, God's design is that it's not to be entered into with shame. And so this was God's design. Like, you need to have a right picture of God if you're going to hear anything in this series. God did not make Adam and Eve, place them in the garden naked, go on a coffee break. Just go take a break because he'd been working real hard. And come back and see what Adam and Eve are doing and go, seriously, what are you doing right now? God knows exactly what was going to happen, and he designed us that way. God was not shocked, and God is not shocked by your thoughts. He's not shocked by your heartbeats. He's not shocked that you have a thing called hormones. He's not shocked that you're attracted to the opposite sex. He is not shocked. He designed you that way. He designed you that way, and with a plan and with a purpose. Here's what you need to know also, is that virginity is not abstinence. Okay, it's not like just not having sex before marriage. Virginity in God's design and God's plan is about fullness and the full expression of what you are bringing into a marriage relationship. It's not about what you are coming without. It's what you're coming into with. You're coming into marriage with the greatest gift you can have. And so virginity is that which you want to guard and that which you want to protect and that which if you have already lost it, you want to ask God for mercy to restore it. We have testimonies of that in this church. But virginity is not, you got to get out of your mind that it's something you're withholding from others. It's something rather you're reserving to give. Do you see the flip of perspective? So I don't preach abstinence. I preach absolutely the fullness of what God designed love and relationship to look like. And so you're coming into it with the exact kind of gift that you, the quality of your love. And the fullness of which you bring. God did not give Adam options. He gave him a spouse. And one thing you'll need to know about marriage, and one thing you'll probably hear even from the testimony of a married couple that's been married for 44 years, is your standard of beauty, the standard by which you operate, is your spouse. So therefore, porn has no value to you whatsoever. Because you're looking at all of that which doesn't even exist and never will exist for you anyways. It's all a made-up little world. It's not reality. It's a flipping screen. Turn it off. I don't care. Like, do you hear what I'm saying? It's not real. This is what God has given us. And the standard is our spouse. And the way our spouse looks, that's our new standard. That's our standard. And the way our spouse develops over time, that's still our standard. So if your husband, like myself, had a six-pack going into marriage and does not have one anymore, that's her new standard. It's not so much of a six-pack. So long time ago, and many of you know this story, she told me when we were younger, she's like, I don't really care about your six-pack. Put your shirt back on. Tell me all these things. And so I kind of tested her with it. And I was like, we'll see. Anyways, just saying, I know. Opening my life, like, we'll delete that. Anyways, yes, I do have a six-pack. For the tape. So love doesn't lead to sex, okay? Love does not lead to sex. Don't even think for a minute. Get it out of your mind. Erase it somehow, okay? Just everybody erase it in your mind somehow that love's leading to sex. That you just can't help yourself. Man, put yourself in the right situation. You can't help yourself from falling off a cliff either, okay? It's right situations, I believe you in the I can't help myself. But at the same time, you shouldn't even be in that situation in the first place. Run away from those situations where you can't help yourself. Because sex is a tool to build love. Sex is a tool to build love. And we've got to see that standard restored in our culture and in this time. Because everybody's running around thinking that it's new positions or it's something else. Or it's adding into your marriage relationship or your partnership that you're in. And it's expressing all this fullness of yourself. It's a tool to build love. And it is reserved for, according to the Bible, marriage. Where it is one woman, one man, for one lifetime, in a completely unique, exclusive to all others, relationship. And the Bible uses the word covenant. The Bible uses the word covenant. And so lastly, just looking at this, you need to come into this relationship series with a fresh perspective that God's design biblically is that marriage is for awesomeness, and that sex, rather, is for awesomeness or pleasure. Okay? God designed sex for pleasure, and He designed it as a good thing. God designed marriage to be something that you have kids in. And so we have a young couple in our church right now that's pregnant, and they were just saying it from the front. Boom, that's an expression of marriage, and that's one of the aspects of marriage. If you want to check this out for yourself, that's in Genesis 1:28. In Genesis 2:23, I'm just going to give you this really quickly here. The Bible says that marriage is for oneness, where you actually become one. Marriage is a transformation. It's something of a mystery that most people can't even come into. And cohabiting is not marriage, just so you know. Cohabiting is not marriage. Cohabiting is not practicing for marriage. Cohabiting actually lessens your ability to stay faithful to that person for a lifetime. Marriage is for marriage. Okay? It's just that simple. God's design has never changed that way. And marriage is for oneness. Marriage is also for comfort. 2 Samuel 2:12-24. And marriage is for protection. That God actually says that in marriage, when your husband and wife are together, it's for protection. And that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, if you're taking notes. So marriage is a gift. Marriage is that which God has given to us, and marriage is a picture of God's love for His church, of God's love for us. Marriage isn't, marriage is nothing. It's nothing. I don't want to use the word nothing. Marriage is an incredible picture of God's love for the church. And for us to want to begin to know how to live in this relationship of marriage, it begins by having a relationship with Jesus and seeing His relationship. And His relationship is that of self-giving love. And all of our movement needs to be towards Him in response to His love and acceptance of His truth, letting it wash over us, letting it transform our minds, and letting His opinions and His truth, rather, because He doesn't have opinions, He has facts, overtake all of our presumptions, all of our experiences, all of our hurts, all of our magazines that have told us otherwise, all of our talk shows, and all of our experts out there. We need to let Him speak loudly and clearly, and us see if He's the designer knows the intention of the design. How many people believe Steve Jobs knows the iPhone better than I do? Yeah, he does. Or did. Well said. Probably still does now. But do you hear what I'm saying? Is that you know, and it would be arrogant for me to think for a moment that I would know more than Him about that which He created. It's probably a secret button that one day it's going to hypnotize me and be like, boom. Well, it probably does. Buy more Apple products. Yes, I will. Yes, I will. Just kind of, as it dies on you, it actually, so that's what we're going to do, okay? Can I just, with saying that, before we invite Daryl and Sharon up here tonight, can I just pray with you right now? Why don't you stay sitting where you are right now? I just want to pray with you. We're looking forward to something that God has very preciously reserved for us, and that's His truth. He's given it to us. He hasn't let you kind of walk through this life guessing or figuring it out for yourself. He has given you Himself, and He's given you everything that you need for life and for godliness. And this is what we're after. We're after Him. We're after Him. And all of our life needs to be going towards Him and be a picture of His love to the world. And if that means marriage for us, then we want to rock that really well. And we want to do every relationship, every aspect of life, according to His plan and His principles. So let's do that. Why don't you just pray with me tonight? Jesus, I pray that for those in this room right now that are coming into marriage with, coming into this relationship series with opinions and hurts and experiences of wrong understandings of marriage, I pray that You would speak loudly and clearly to hearts. Jesus, You are so gracious, and I thank You that You answer our questions even when they are ridiculous. That You answer our questions even when we aren't even listening all the time. That You are constantly answering our questions. And I pray that tonight, that the deepest questions in hearts would be answered. I pray that tonight, You would cause a heart for You. That there would be even an unsettledness in people's hearts right now that would cause them to run after You. Oh, Jesus, we want to know Your love, and we want to be a reflection of Your love to this world. And so would You cause us to have a right understanding of marriage? Would You cause us to have a beautiful picture of what You have designed? And I pray that tonight we would see You and meet You. Even right now, if there's people in this room that don't know You, I pray You'd move on their hearts, that You would stir them towards You and let them see You very clearly for the first time. Would You save those, Father, that are here? Would You save us? Transform us. And tonight I pray that You'd renew our minds. In Jesus' name. And everybody said? Everybody said?
My mind. Oh, give me love, my mind, my mind. Oh, give me love.
For more information, visit CloverdaleChurch.ca.